What's up, Jake Volnick? Because he's joining us today. I should have said we got Jake Volnick today. Jake, what's up, buddy?
We're doing pretty good. Honestly, bad night of sleep, but we're feeling good. Like, it was a full energy drink day. I was about to get ready for the show. I'm like, I'm just not awake.
I will say this. If I complain at all this week, I'm missing the point of life. Life is excellent right now. We're in the midst of summer. Football is back. We got college football 2026 out. I have a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful life, right? This week has been as cattywampus as it can be without anything actually going seriously wrong. And Vanessa and I, we were both out late getting the kids and helping the kids with stuff last night. And when I say late, I mean 9. And we sat down. And I was so grateful because I was like, you have nothing to complain about, but you're exhausted. And Vanessa just let out the biggest yawn in the world. And I was like, oh, thank God you're tired too. She's like, I'm exhausted. It's been a great week, but just this week has required a lot of effort and focus in a way that like great weeks normally don't. So I'm glad that you also slept poorly because I slept poorly last night too.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fine week and there's nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, we did the show last night. I probably did the thing where I didn't go to sleep on time. That's like a normal thing. And then I woke up and I'm not going to disclose the time I woke up because... Because
I'll tease you.
Yeah, because everybody in the room would put me to shame. That's exactly what happens every time I pull that one out. But I woke up and I was just like, no. Like, we're back for an hour. It's just like, this is not good.
We tried that. We tried that. And then Mongo the dog thought, you know, Dad's got a back issue right now. I'm going to jump on his back. And so we were awake right on time. Quality assist there for pup Mongo. I would like to point out that I know Ken did his head coach rankings today, something we can talk about on the show today, but I have followed up. I have heard every criticism Jonathan Peterlin had of my quarterback tiers, which he felt were underproduced. He thought the tier names weren't creative enough. He thought the actual work itself, it didn't look good enough. He thought it looked a little cheap. And so I thought this morning, I'm like, I'm going to enlist ChatGPT to help me out because I'm going to get creative with these names. I did those myself, but I'm going to have some pictures in here. I'm going to have some logos in here only for this piece of content to take up 80% of my morning. Like people have told me I use ChatGPT for this kind of project and this kind of project. It helped some. It helped with the color coding that I asked for. It gave me a basic PowerPoint slide to work off of. But the pictures, useless. When I plugged in pictures, it then like it caricatured them in a way that was like, well, that's kind of like it, but also not like it. And so I ended up spending the whole morning on these NFL team tiers. And I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze.
I will say these ones look far better. I'm with JP. The other ones, the quarterback tiers you did, essentially looked like I was going into a presentation and they were like, yeah, here's this. Yes. Different, little bit of an outline. It's just in boxes. You're going to follow it. It's not really going to make sense. And yours made sense, but it was just like,
this is getting really okay.
It was
still fresh.
I'm just saying.
No, I appreciate it. Well, cause I'm going to take the compliment, which is these, which I worked. I thought this was going to be like a 20-minute project this morning, and because ChatGPT got me 20% of the way there, if you don't like these tiers, I individually downloaded 32 team logos and 9 pictures that fit the categories. That in and of itself make these the best tiers anyone's going to do, even if you think they stink. Very defensive of these up front, by the way.
I think we're going to have to teach you how to use a program to make this go faster because the list that you had, not to knock you down, it's a good product. I think I could have made this exact graphic probably right around 20 minutes where you projected it.
You're 16 years younger. Of course you can.
There's also an online tier maker.
That's hack now. Tier's not hack. Using an online tier creator, that is hack. Yeah, that is very hack. Everybody knows that. All right, so we're gonna run through these really quickly. I'm just going to spit them out because I do want to know where people think the Browns should be on this, and I want to get your take on this. So the best tier is Ana de Armas. And the reason why I put her there is not for the obvious reason that a bunch of thirsty people on social media put her there. It's that I think she's like one of the 3 best actors going, and like watch like Knives Out and then watch like her Ben Affleck movie. Sorry, her movie with Ben Affleck. She's an incredible actress. She's, and if you nitpick her in any way, including on like the whether you think she's attractive or not, you just sound really salty. So that is the Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, and Ravens. Then the second tier is Ana de Armas' exes. That means they touched greatness, but not for very long. The Chargers, Rams, Commanders, and Lions. If you squint hard enough, which is, yeah, it could be, this could happen. You could end up being in the NFC title game. Texans, Packers, Vikings, and Buccaneers. Glenn Powell, which means likely overrated, and you're talking yourself into it. The Cowboys, Bengals, Broncos, and 49ers trading places. That means we're buying low. The Steelers, Raiders, Patriots, Knicks. All right, Knicks? This one, the Knicks. Oh, Giants. Thank you.
That's not a football team.
Yeah, we did not sleep last night. We'll play 17 games this year, which is a way of saying the only thing I really am sure about is they will start and finish the season according to their schedule. That's the Panthers, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Titans. This one might just be mean. Fools. The Bears, Falcons, Jets, and Cardinals. And then aching for Arch, as in Arch Manning. The Saints and the Colts. And then the final one, which is where I have the Browns, probably watches too much anime. And that is Browns and Jaguars. So those are, I know you know anime. I know you're a nerd. I don't know you know ball. Do I have the Browns in the right category?
You're going to have to explain it to me a little bit on why they fall here, because I don't think so. Like, hey, anywhere where I put them a tier below the Saints doesn't feel good.
I think these are adjacent tiers, in fairness. They look below, but they are in adjacent tiers, but it's a different level of lost. Because we're like, aching for Arch means you have removed the guardrails and you will stink. And that is it might not be your full intention, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but you know what you're doing going with Tyler Shuck, and in the case of the Colts, Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. You know what you're jiving at here, right? Whereas with probably watches too much anime, they think they're going to be good. They don't realize that there's quicksand under their feet, and they are just... They really think they have a salient plan. They've got something they're selling to everyone. And by and large, you look at it and go, who is that fooling? I think that's pretty good. I think I nailed that like a split hog.
I mean, you had the definition really good. I just don't think that's... And you can... I'm sure you're going to spew out the... This is a homer take, but I mean, I've thrown it out to you before. Like, I'd be just as surprised if they won 2 games as if they won 10 games. That's where I stand on the Browns. So I think I'd probably be more in like the we'll play 17 games this season. Like, that's the only thing I'm sure of.
So that's interesting. I kind of had it there. I also thought, like, if you're buying stock in the Browns now, it's too rich for me. And not the stock.
I was going to say.
Like, Vegas has got you at, like, a 5.5 win total.
They are the lowest in the NFL.
But specific to the Browns, I understand if you say, well, it's 5.5 wins, Flacco's back, they're turning back the clocks to the system you used in 2021 or 2020 and 2023. Joe has proven he fits here. And honestly, you're moving on from Deshaun. I do understand that. I just think we're putting a lot of stock into things that don't matter as much as, so what's your quarterback room? Who are your best offensive players? Like those, like, and here's the thing, even the defense, well, I think the defense is going to bounce back. Yeah, but bounce back could be they're the 15th best defense in football this year instead of what they were 2 years ago, where the bounce back, the implication is they can be the best defense in football.
The Browns were right around like middle of the pack defense last year, all things considered, which was surprising as bad as the offense was.
I think DVOA had them at 21, okay, which is why I threw the 15th number out there.
Yeah, I think on a lot of like the probably more basic metrics, they finished right around middle of the pack. I don't know. Like it doesn't feel like a defense as long as the offense can't get going, which thank you very much, Quinshon. Not sure that's going to happen. But I just like they feel to me as if, I don't know, hey, the defense to me like spews top 12 to top 10. Like, probably in that range. And I think that's going to be a solidified thing. And I don't think you get worse as an offense. I don't know how you get worse as an offense, quite frankly.
I think to overcome the offense, I think you're going to have to be a top five defense. Like, I think, because again, as you've said, in certain metrics, they weren't an awful defense. And They were really good early, like really, really. They had some games. I know there was the Dallas game, which we can all remember. They had some dominating performances. They just weren't consistent. And then once, you know, Za'Darius got traded and this guy got hurt and this guy got hurt and it became what it became, I just continue to come back to, I don't think there's a lot you can actually do with the offense. This is where I'm not trying to be personal about it because I want them to be good. But like when I hear somebody say they could win 2 games, they could win 10 games, I think that's because we want them to win 10 games and we don't want to go through what this next 5 months is going to be. And for when I hear that, I'm not saying for you, but when I hear fans say that, I'm like, all right, do you think they're really going to win 10 games? Or because I where you might be right on them belonging in like the we'll play 17 games is, I think it could be 3 games, 3 wins. I think it could be 7 wins. And I wonder about that idea of, hey, we won 7 games. Isn't that an accomplishment? But what I thought was really interesting about the Browns is most teams maybe go in 2 or 3 categories here.
Yeah.
You could legit put the Browns, depending on how you think people feel about them, in like half the categories. I don't think they belong in aching for Arch, but I get why people think they might. Fools is a little heavy-handed. I don't think they're fools. Like, this isn't like this is tough. Because I like some, but it's not like Joe Banner and Rob Jedzinski or Eric Mangini and himself, right?
Yeah.
Like this is so, but again, but I can understand if you put them there. We'll play 17 games. Yep, they are going to play 17 games. if that's as much as you know about them, even trading places, you want to buy stock. Even if the stock only goes to 8 wins, well, you're still covered if you think they're going to be if you go with the Vegas line there. 216-474-0092. So we've put the tiers out there. At Nick Wilson says. Did you retweet them? I'm not asking for the retweet. Okay, I just want to make sure. At Volnick Jake on social media, but good job retweeting. I like you more now. And of course, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What tiers? Of the tiers I came up with, what tier does the Cleveland Browns belong in? I have probably watches too much anime. They know Naruto. I don't know they know ball.
I don't think you nailed that one.
I didn't.
I believe it's Naruto.
But you know why? You know why? Because I know ball. John Breach, but I don't know.
Naruto?
I was wrong.
Naruto?
Naruto. Yeah.
That too.
It feels like you're maybe somebody else in on the station. You know more ball than I know? Is that what we're going for? You know more football than I do?
I am the Michael Jordan of sports talk.
Good job.
People said it. John Breach, CBS Sports, coming up at 3. We will talk about the tiers with the Cleveland Browns, where they belong. Brent Sobolewski. He said the Browns are aching for Arch there at 420. We'll get into that. He also still thinks Kirk Cousins is a possibility for the Cleveland Browns. And we've done our look-aheads all week long. We're going to be doing more next week as we touch base in AFC North markets and AFC markets and other interesting storylines around football. Well, Vinny Serrato, former NFL executive, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, joins us at 520. There's a Lamar Jackson question I do think we should be asking ourselves after the round of rankings and tiers and big boards that we've gotten out here. But which of the tiers do the Browns actually belong in? If you created a Cleveland Browns-based tier, mine was they probably watch too much anime. Which one would you have for them? And Albert Breer said the darndest thing about Deshaun Watson yesterday. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We had Albert on in kind of a pinch hit situation because he couldn't do Tuesday because of scheduling stuff and he's coming off vacation. So Albert very graciously agreed to do 440 with us yesterday. And some of you have probably already seen the post that I think we threw up for the station. I know the morning show talked about this as well, but it was something that because of how the show was structured yesterday, we didn't get into this. And I'll just say this. Albert Breer said the darndest thing about the Browns quarterback situation, including Deshaun Watson.
I think the weird thing about it is, guys, is like despite everything, he's still the most talented quarterback on the roster. And like as much as you invested in him and as much as you still have to invest in him going forward based on the guarantees of the contract, selling on him now, getting rid of him now, just bailing on him now would be selling really low. So, like, even if there's, like, a 1% chance that the old Deshaun Watson is going to reemerge at some point, you've already been through an entire offseason with him. Like, I don't know. Like, I just sort of feel like, you know, it makes sense to stash him, you know, and see what happens.
So, that last part is what I'm going to attack first. I don't think there's anything that can happen between now, like realistically. I'm sure if I got into my brown and orange colored glasses, or if I got into my magical thinking, which I can absolutely do like the rest of us, I'm sure I could get to a point where I can imagine a situation where Deshaun surprises the football world, and then, well, maybe we give him another run, or maybe, hey, you get value for him. The only legitimate, logical path forward with Deshaun is selling low, in that he never sees the field. As long as he's under contract, Jake, there's going to be the potential threat that he plays. But this idea that, oh, you got it 1%, you got to, you know, you don't want to sell low, you lost. They've sunk your battleship. All right? Like, you've lost. Where this season's about regrouping. I think next season is part of that regrouping, where potentially next draft is about regrouping. Specific to the idea of, well, you just never know and you don't want to sell low on Deshaun Watson. No, I think everyone's pretty confident here and pretty comfortable with selling low on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, if you got anybody to give anything for him, you would take it, even if it was like, hey, you had tossed in a couple of draft picks and we'll basically eat the contract. I think everybody would pretty much be on board with that at some point. I don't know. It's still, like, I mean, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. It was something where, like, I can imagine a world where, and it's a very specific scenario. It would be something that I think is incredibly unlikely, but I think it does live to the 1% where, I mean, we've seen, like, the relationship itself, while, of course, fractured. Like, we heard Jimmy Haslam say the swing and a miss comment and everything else. It's fractured, but, it's somewhat repaired. Like, they're okay. Jimmy was at Deshaun's wedding, and they were smiling in a picture together. That's something where Jimmy doesn't have to show up. If I'm Deshaun, I'm like, you gave me $230 million. Yeah, it changed my life. Thank you very much. Come to my wedding.
I pay $150 a plate for you.
Yeah. I mean, that. But it feels like, okay, it makes sense for Deshaun to invite him. If it was that bad, like, would Jimmy be like, oh, this ended up terribly, I go to your wedding too?
So I do think it, I by the way, I would commend the Browns for not letting the absolute disappointment and failure of the Deshaun trade for seeping into the personal relationship. I think that is actually a good sign. I know that that's not like I can't put 7 wins on it or 10 wins on it, yeah. But that's, to me, that shows empathy and that shows humanity, right? To not allow, because a lot of times what happens in a lot of situations is the football goes south, and then the relationship goes south. The Jimmy thing at the wedding does push back on that. What I would say, though, is like, I understand you saying, like, well, I can kind of see it. It's like, well, okay, but the problem is we put it all on, well, it's just been about injuries. And it's like, no. Kevin has already moved on from the offense that they were installing to get the best out of Deshaun, and they're going back to the offense that he absolutely looked like a not competent NFL quarterback in. You're not going to go back to another offense again. Unless Kevin's not the head coach, which is something maybe part of the 1%. But it's interesting. Like, I don't know what we're basing Deshaun is still the most talented quarterback in that room on, because yes, there's physical talent. I don't even know that that's true anymore. He's torn an Achilles. I don't know the guy can throw, given his shoulder, because there were times last year he didn't look like he knew where he was going. And then the problem is, what was exposed with Deshaun here was, yeah, he's athletic. Yes, he's a playmaker, but he has problems reading the defense. He has, or reading Kevin Stefanski's defense. He needs a lot more help than either Kevin knew how to give him or would give him. And that's a lot of the other things that make a quarterback successful. Oh, and we're like 5 years removed from the last time Deshaun showed actual physical talent on the field. And I think that's where it's like, okay, I know it's Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and 2 rookies. So maybe it's just more about that than it is about Deshaun. I don't know. I Joe Flacco at 41 might have more physical talent left in his body than Deshaun does after 2 significant injuries and all the mental stuff he's gone through. And same thing with a guy like Shador, a guy who I don't even believe in Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I think that's more what it's based in, though, is that you look around the room, and I think Joe's like the only actual argument you can make. And I don't think it's fair to look at Deshaun, even as bad as he was over the last 3 years, to be like, oh, Shador's more talented than you are right now. Like, nobody knows that. All we've seen him play in the NFL is in shorts and a helmet and throwing against essentially no defense at all. Like, I can't say he's more talented. I certainly can't say Kenny Pickett's more talented.
But see, how can you say Deshaun's more talented?
Because the lone idea that Deshaun put what he did on the field 5 years ago and that exists somewhere, right? Even if it's just unretractable at this point, like you cannot get that back out of Deshaun. And what was once in Houston can never be brought back, which I think is probably the case. The fact that that exists somewhere already makes him more talented than Kenny Pickett.
Well, but I can do the what if game with Joe Flacco. What if he's just comfortable here and he bounces back to who he was 2 years ago? With Kenny Pickett, again, overdrafted, but second round talent. Let's say that's what he really was. He might have been a third round talent. But okay, but he fits Kevin Stefanski's system to a T. Same thing with Dylan Gabriel. With Shador, the talent isn't why he went to the fifth round. Yeah. It was all the other stuff and alleged NFL readiness. So, like, the Deshaun's talent is a myth. And that's the way we should treat it. We always made the Michael Vick comparison because they spent time away. If you look at the Michael Vick that was out of the NFL for 2.5 years or whatever it was, the guy that came back, yeah, he wasn't the same player. He couldn't move the way he used to. He actually got better as a passer, got more consistent as a passer at least. He also played in an offense that fit him instead of having a defensive head coach, but I digress. But, like, I just look at this and I'm like, man, this is the island of misfit quarterbacks. Because Flacco is old. Dylan Gabriel is diminutive. Kenny Pickett has been Zach Wilson level of unplayable and isn't a special physical talent. Shador clearly comes with the social media stuff, yada, yada, yada. And then Deshaun, off the field baggage, on the field major injuries. And you haven't seen him. It was the first Trump presidency. The last time we saw Deshaun Watson do anything meaningful on a football field. Like, I think, though, like at some point, if we say, I still got talent, where? How? Because I watched those games. Guys, I was dead-ass wrong last year. I was grasping at straws in the Oakland game, in any of the other games we saw. I was trying so hard. I needed Deshaun to succeed so hard that my analysis was skewed. I was dead-ass wrong. He was unplayable. Unplayable. And then he tore his Achilles. I can't reconcile those truths with the idea of, but he's got more talent than those guys. I'm like, they're all defective in one way or another.
Well, yeah, I think that's the problem is you've built a, like you said, it's a room of misfit toys. Generously, they're all kind of trash. Like, they're all bad. Like, I can look at,
I wouldn't say trash.
That's I did say
the Browns watch too much anime, so I'm in the mood to say something personal. But yeah,
like I mean, I don't, obviously I'm not placing that on the rookies, but you go in with the understanding, yeah. And like Joe is the same quarterback in Indy that he was here. It just so happened that you played garbage teams in the time that you were playing,
and he got benched twice unfairly. Like he got blamed for losing and it wasn't a damn fault. But go ahead.
Yeah, but so. Joe is going to throw as many touchdowns as he does interceptions. He's going to sling it, but he's also going to turn the ball over. And without a top-tier defense behind him, you get Indy last year, which they were literally like, no, you know what? Maybe Anthony Richardson isn't that bad. Maybe we can turn back to that.
All right. You got to win a game right now. You get to pick any of the five quarterbacks. Rank them. Because Joe Flacco is number one.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett was in the NFL last year, so I'll give him two. I'd probably go Shador. And then it really is like, all right, is it the guy who might not be able to move or can't throw the ball anymore? Or is it the guy that I watched at three major programs and went, yeah, that's a college quarterback?
I genuinely think that I would look at Deshaun, and as much as I hate it, probably place him somewhere at like two or three. Like he'd be in competition with Kenny.
I know it's legal.
No.
But you shouldn't do it before the show.
No, I don't do it at all.
Okay, sure. Me neither.
The difference is... a little truthful over here. But I don't know.
Like, somebody's father. How dare you?
Deshaun, like, the offense was terrible when he was here. It was god-awful. But, like, I don't know. I don't think you can win games with Kenny without, again, a top-tier defense behind him, which is the exact same thing he had in Pittsburgh, which was a unplayable offense that he was contributing towards. I mean, how many multiple touchdown games does Kenny Pickett have in his career? I believe that would be 1-2. I think we're sitting right in that range where he threw two touchdowns in a game.
But at least Kenny's won games in the last three. And this is the softest like rebuttal I can give you. I don't think Deshaun can win. I think he is. How do I say mentally cooked? Because I'm sure there is some like. But I'm talking about from a football perspective. I don't think he thinks he can do it anymore. I think he knows his teammates don't believe in him on the football field. It's different than off the football field anymore. I think he knows he has no support in that organization when it comes to football, not personal. And I don't think he can physically do it. I'm trying to find the way in which I can polish this that, you know, Deshaun is still the most talented quarterback, and the best I can do is denigrate the four quarterbacks they do have, which is giving him a pass for the reality of the last 5 years, and certainly the last 2 years between the shoulder and the Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, I think
any
obviously
one of those ends careers anyways.
Yeah, the injuries are obviously a big concern. He has won football games here, unfortunately. Like, that was the big sell going into last year, is he was walking in with, what, an 8-4 record, and then he goes 1-6 last year. He's still one game under 500. You can say he can't win football games. He's won almost as many as he's lost in Cleveland.
Albert Breer says Deshaun is still the most talented quarterback in Cleveland. Is that so? I think it's a non-starter. I think absolutely not. Mike on Twitter saying, you got a grudge against anime or something? No, I do not. I'm just poking a little bit of fun. And I think before James Gladstone and Andrew Berry made the Travis Hunter trade, I think they played a little bit of Pokemon. I think that's how the conversation started. And after a little Dragon Ball Z, loose ends. And then is it Dandan? Is that what it's called? You would know that, Mac.
Don to Don.
Yeah, that too. They did that, and that's how they sealed the trade. Yeah, so nothing against anime. I just really enjoy watching Mac squirm when I make fun of it. Yeah.
They went out. They had fun with the Naruos and the three pieces and everything else, right?
Was that English? Was any of that? Was that? I didn't hear anything.
The only thing is, I did
butcher everything that I said in it. Wyatt Teller Truthers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Jake, I'm in hog molly heaven. Is Brandon Thorne, who's a big offensive line guy, loves talking about trench warfare. He's actually of the trench warfare website. He has Wyatt Teller ranked as the fifth best right guard in the NFL behind Chris Lindstrom of Atlanta and Sam Cosmi of Washington. I will ask you this there, Jake. Wyatt Teller is a top blank right guard in the game currently.
So I feel like I have to weigh in injury concerns and everything else. Like, healthy, I don't think that's a terrible spot for him. But if you take into account injuries and how often he's actually on the field, like 12, I think.
Right guard?
Right guard specifically? No, higher than 12. Oh. I was talking offensive guard in general. Right
guard.
Give
me the vapors.
No. Yeah, you're probably like talking like top 5 to 6.
All right, so I very much respect Brandon. My thing is, Wyatt Teller was an incredible guard last year while not healthy early in the season and playing outside of a system that he had his most success in with an offensive line coach who apparently just got ghosted at some point in the season. Joe Bitonio wasn't good last year because of that. Ethan Posick, plus injuries, wasn't good for that last year. Jack Conklin actually was pretty, but everybody struggled, but Wyatt. Like, Wyatt had a top 5 season with all that going on. Chris Lindstrom's a very nice guard. Sam Cosmi's a very nice young guard. They're not Wyatt Teller. And he is right up there with Quentin Nelson. So the lowest I'll accept is top 3. Right? If you factor everything in, because those guys, the other thing is, those guys had more team success than Wyatt had, and I think that's holding him back too.
Yeah, I think that does put a pretty big damper on things. Also, the only reason that Jack Conklin actually succeeded in the offense last year was because he was a suitable pass blocker. Like, and that's
and
what everything.
He's Jack Bleep and Conklin. Well, put a little respect on that name.
He's good, but the run game out of that system was non existent.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't want to remember it. Omaha! Barstool Sports announcing a partnership today alongside of Fox Sports. We had news on this earlier on yesterday that it was probably going to happen. It's now official. Dave Portnoy probably going to be somewhere involved in Big Noon Kickoff. Barstool going to be getting a show on Fox Sports from 8 to 10. Is this a good thing that Fox Sports is heading this way and also let go like of almost every talent they had? Or is this a sideways move or something that probably sets them back?
So I think it's difficult for a lot of people to divorce their feelings on how the Barstool guys say things or the content they produce and what this actually means. I don't take in a lot of Barstool content, although Ohio State and Jeff Lowe are two of our guys, so I really make sure to pay attention to theirs. What I look at is I'm looking at what Fox Sports is trying to do counter to ESPN. And they've tried to copy ESPN too much. Well, Dave Portnoy, I can understand people thinking, well, that's their McAfee. No, they're both, they get a lot of eyes. They're not going to get it's different kind of attentions. Even 8 to 10 on a morning show, a Barstool-produced morning show is going to be wildly different than Get Up, and that's good. That means you're going to have options. And here's the other thing. Barstool is one of the companies right now in the sports media landscape that is making headway and making a lot of positive deals for itself. As somebody who works in sports media and watches how the landscape continues to be just absolutely ravaged by a lot of different factors, I do think this is a positive thing for the business. So, yeah, I mean, take away what you think about them personally. I think it's great for Fox and Barstool as long as everybody understands what this all entails.
Yeah, I think that the reason that I like it so much, and you don't have to agree with everything that Barstool does. I don't either, but like, the way that they present sports content, I think, is a lot more palatable to the average viewer, which is probably a lot of what you're losing right now if you're ESPN, because everybody talks like, I mean, you basically talk about the same three things and everybody in every show just reiterates the exact same thing. Yeah, when you take a little bit of a looser approach and you realize that, hey, they're just not taking it all that serious like other shows do, I think that you get a fun, different spin on things that actually works and is different from the norm that has been played out and is kind of boring and dead at this point.
And I think when ESPN tried to do this, we all knew that was going to be DOA. They don't fit into ESPN's corporate culture. I do think Fox Sports and Fox Sports One have done a better job of kind of broadening what is their culture, sometimes for the worse. But I do think, like, I don't think they're going to be all that uptight about some of the things that Barstool is going to want to do. And that's kind of, if you're going to play, you're going to play that game, you better be willing to do the other stuff that comes with it that gets you criticism.
Omaha!
Coldplay has a crowd cam during their concert. This happened last night at their show in Boston. They panned to who turns out to be a well-known CEO and his PR chief canoodling. Well, they happen to both be married to other people. The video has gone viral. Apparently, the guy's wife, so the CEO, his wife has already excommunicated him on social media, meaning she's removed his name from her profile. Is this the dumbest way to potentially get caught cheating?
Yeah, I mean, how dumb do you have to be? You know there's a camera. I mean, you go to a sporting event, I think you'd be aware, like, there's a low chance I get on camera, but there's always a chance. Like, you should probably make sure, especially when you're a high-profile person, people can't see you.
I just feel so bad for the spouses and the family of the spouses, like, if they have kids or whatnot, because it's like, there's just no escaping this. Like, marriages breaking up is tough enough, especially when it's like a workplace one. It's those things are tough enough. Now it's a viral video. Like, this is like the most public humiliation of like an affair situation that I can think of since like Bezos and Mackenzie Scott got half that dude's ducats. And we all were like, you get it. You donate half his money out of spite. So I feel so bad for them. And I don't know, man. If you're gonna step out, like, can you be more clever about it? Can you be committed to the game that you're trying to play here, and maybe think of other people besides I just want to canoodle with the PR chief? I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like a very not that there's any good way to have an affair, but there feels like a very 1990s way to have an affair instead of a 2025 way where you're like,
so it's a 1990s way to have an affair in 2025.
Exactly.
Which is another thing that if you're a CEO, you should probably just know better than.
Yeah, you feel like you've moved far enough in the food chain to probably escape that, but I guess not. Not everybody can be that smart.
Social media comes for us all.
Scottie Scheffler, ahead of the Open Championships going on right now across the pond, speaking out in a little bit of a different light than we typically hear athletes speak out, especially those at the top of their game.
Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about. But at the end of the day, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? This is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world. And then they're like, what's the point? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis.
Does this feel something that is widespread across golf for you, or is this like Scottie Scheffler individual?
I think it's the most relatable thing I've ever heard a golfer say.
It just like, I mean, you go through in an individual sport and like the turnaround in golf is so quick. I think it's hard to escape. Like he talks about, oh, well, you basically get to celebrate for 2 minutes. I mean, it feels that way. In reality, it is what, 2 days, 3 days max. And then you're on to a next tournament. Like these guys play 40 tournaments up to this point so far in the season. And it's always, hey, congrats, you won one. You're going to win the next one? You're going to do this one? You're going to basically take over and be... And, I mean, he's one of the most dominant we've gotten to.
So something I always think about with, like, a guy like LeBron. Like, yeah, LeBron's a billionaire. LeBron's probably going to own an NBA team. He's the face of a league. He's a global empire. Too big to fail, really. Like, he's... And, by the way, we're just... Once he retires, this is going to go through a different phase of financial success. But I also wonder, like, is that level of success worth... Is the trappings of that level of success worth the success? And I think everyone out there, because I saw people criticizing him, and I thought it was inhumane the way they talked about him. Because I think it's as a parent, as somebody in a marriage of almost 20 years, like there are times where like this is my dream job. I don't want to work in New York City. I don't want to work in LA. I wanted to be a drive time host in Cleveland, and I got to do the night show at 30. I got this show, I think, at 36. I don't know, time's a flat circle. And so this is everything I've wanted, I got before I was, 40. And yet there are trade-offs that I make to do this, specifically with family time at night with my girls. And there are times where that success doesn't feel like success. And by the way, I'm quite happy to do this, right? It has allowed me to afford a better life for my kids and my wife and for me. And we've made such great headways as a family together. Yeah, there are days where I sit here and I know my kids and my wife are at home just yucking it up. And it is something that's tough to deal with sometimes. Every human being, everybody out there has that. If you're a parent barely making ends meet, working three jobs to put your kid, to make sure your kid just has a roof over their head, you feel that. If you're a billionaire CEO that might be I think sometimes wealth can disconnect you from each other, that's something you think about. I just like, honestly, I've never heard an athlete, I've not never, very rarely have ever heard an athlete talk with that kind of vulnerability and openness. And I, more of that. I was never in on Scottie Scheffler. I think he's kind of a product of watered-down golf because of the two leagues. I'm in on Scottie Scheffler. This was incredibly human. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I think that especially hearing it come from, again, the top of the top is such a big thing, and not it being, I mean, no-name Joe over there, like, I'm pouring my life into this and it's not working. Like, yeah, that still hits. But even Scottie being like, yeah, I found the success. I have the success, and here's what we have to show for it.
John Breach of CBS Sports talks where he has the Browns going into the season, the quarterback room, Deshaun Watson's talent, and the rest of the NFL. Storylines in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.